Good morning, everyone. My name is Rachel Ryland. I'm a master's student in the Crops and Soil Science Department at the University of Georgia. And today I'll be talking about an evaluation of altered depths to the argillic horizon due to erosion and what impacts that has on hill slope interflow using hydrous 2D modeling. Wanted to start with a little land use history of the Piedmont. Much of the Piedmont was farmed beginning in the 1800s and primarily for cotton production. This farming lasted for about 150 years. And as you can see, it caused a lot of erosion in certain parts of the Piedmont. My research was conducted at the Calhoun Critical Zone Observatory, or Calhoun CZO, located in Union County, South Carolina, which is the Piedmont physiographic region. The image I showed earlier is the 1933 aerial photography of the Calhoun Critical Zone Observatory. On the left-hand side, these lighter areas are where the land has been cleared for agriculture. And these landscapes have since been reforested, as you can see in the 2017 image. So how has this severe erosion affected hill slope interflow? Interflow being the movement of groundwater over or within a clay horizon as modeled in the Piedmont. Generally, this clay horizon is modeled as being parallel to the soil surface and having a uniform topsoil thickness, as you can see here. However, the land use has redistributed soil from the upper to lower landscape positions, causing variations in topsoil thickness, so not having this consistent depth as shown. So how has this affected the interflow process on these hill slopes? So the objective of this research was to measure the depth to the argillic horizon, as well as the saturated hydraulic conductivity, and then use this quantitative data to parameterize two hill slope models for comparison. And the hypothesis is that undisturbed landscapes, or landscapes that have not been affected by agriculture, would have higher interflow rates just because the soil structure hasn't been damaged, as well as lower soil water storage, basically due to the topsoil being thicker and the toe slope in those that have been affected by agriculture. Therefore, that larger topsoil would be able to retain more water. I wanted to talk about landscape positions just because I will be using this throughout the research, or this presentation, I'm sorry. Starting at the ridge being the uppermost portion of the landscape, convex shoulder, flat mid-slope, concave foot slope, and flat toe slope. So the depth to the argillic horizon was measured at each of these landscape positions on these hill slopes. And the saturated hydraulic conductivity was measured just at the ridge, mid-slope, and toe-slope position. So some depths to the argillic layer data. On the y-axis, you can't see it here, but that is the depth to the clay in centimeters. And along the x-axis is the landscape positions I just showed. So starting on the left-hand side, that would be the ridge. And working your way to the right would be the toe slope, so this is as if you're walking down the hill slope. So the topsoil thickness for the ridge, shoulder, and mid-slope were fairly consistent in the historically farmed landscapes. However, in the foot slope and toe slope, there was a significant depth increase to about 76 centimeters. However, for those landscapes that have been undisturbed by agriculture, it was fairly consistent along the hill slope. Saturated hydraulic conductivity, here shown in log scale across the y-axis, and the depth at which the measurement was taken at the on the y. The green arrows are the historically farmed landscapes. The black dots are the undisturbed landscapes. There was no significant difference in saturated hydraulic conductivity with depth between these two land uses, which was unexpected. The topsoil and the subsoil in these landscapes had a high saturated conductivity, about 20 centimeters per hour. And through the clay horizon, it decreased in magnitude to about 0.2 centimeters per hour. So this case, that data was used to parameterize the model. Here are the models shown in the modeling space. On the left-hand side is the historically farmed, so those that have had soil redistribution on them. This is the profile of the hill slope, so the curve at the top is the soil surface. The blue color is the topsoil, so you can see there has been a redistribution. This redistribution matches the averages of the bar graph shown earlier. And on the right-hand side, the uniform landscape did not have this distribution. The green below the topsoil is the clay horizon, which is 60 centimeters thick for both of these models. And the yellow is the coarse subsoil. I did want to point out three different things. The volume of topsoil is not the same in these two models. So the volume hasn't been redistributed from the uniform. It is based on the averages as seen in field. Also, the slope of the subsoil is steeper in the historically farmed. This is just a product of how I modeled it. And that created the subsoil at the bottom of the historically farmed being less than the uniform, so it did affect the output of this model. Some boundary conditions. Along the left-hand side is the watershed divide, and along the bottom is the bedrock, so these were no-flow boundaries. Along the top is the soil surface. This is the atmospheric boundary through which precipitation infiltrates and evapotranspiration exits. And at the seepage face at the bottom of the hill slope is where the drainage occurs. Both models received the same climate data. This data was collected from the 1940s to the 1970s in the Calhoun Critical Zone Observatory. I chose 1959 and 1960 because of the high precipitation in those years to encourage interflow in the model. So for the model comparison, we looked at interflow, which was the water flow at the seepage face that was contributed by each soil horizon, and also a simple soil water storage for each hill slope, looking at the change in storage, which equaled the precipitation, which also equaled infiltration into the model, the evapotranspiration out of the model, as well as the drainage out of the model. So to talk about interflow, I wanted to first show these two models again, and I will be zooming in to the seepage face shown here in red. So these two boxes are those red boxes from before. In the historically farmed model, we see that the topsoil and the clay horizon contributes about 80% of the water flow out of the hill slope at the seepage face. And this is also approximately seen in the uniform distributed hill slopes. I did want to point out, though, that the topsoil and the historically farmed contributed a lot more than the topsoil of the uniform model. Again, I think this is contributed to the steepness of the subsoil surface. So when the rain infiltrated into the hill slope, it actually ran over that subsoil quicker than it did in the uniform model. So a lot more exited through the topsoil than it did through the clay horizon. But the inverse is seen in the undisturbed watershed. So about 50% of the water exited through the clay horizon. So again, this water was able to infiltrate into the clay horizon and exit the hill slope through that. Soil water storage. For 1959 and 1960, for the historically farmed landscapes, in the first year there was 11% storage. In the second year, however, there was a 7% loss. So there was a net storage of about 4.6% on historically farmed lands. On undisturbed lands, we see that there was an increase of 11% in soil water storage, but there was also 11% loss in the 1960s, so there was a net zero soil water storage in these hill slopes. So in conclusion, the uniform or undisturbed landscapes had a higher interflow in the clay horizon than those of the historically farmed, but again, this is probably attributed to the slope of the subsoil being steeper in the historically farmed. And there was lower soil water storage as hypothesized in the uniform models, but this may be due to some error within the model itself. I'd like to acknowledge the funding for this research, which was the NSF Critical Zone Observatory Program, specifically for Calhoun. And I'd like to thank my lab group, of which I'm two members, or two lab groups, so here's one, and then my second lab group is here in the audience. So thank you for your support. Any questions?
We do have a time for at least one question, I think.
Yes.
I'm just a little bit curious about if you know anything about the mechanisms of erosion. I was wondering if some of that was tillage erosion.
Sure. I think we believe it's due to poor tilling practices that were in the farming era, and that just leading to poor soil structure and then movement by overland flow to lower landscape position. Thank you.